there. My name is Leah Lambert, and the title of this presentation is Hepatitis B, Closing the Gap in Kansas. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment, or KDHE, works with physicians and county health departments to identify hepatitis B positive pregnant women so we can follow them and their infants and help stop the transfer of hepatitis B from mother to infant. And in this presentation, I will use HBV positive, and that's just a hepatitis B positive, so not so much on the slide. A primary method of surveillance is lab-based in Kansas. Hepatitis B is a reportable disease, so all labs send positive lab reports to the KDHE. The perinatal hepatitis B coordinator, which is me, identifies all lab reports from women ages 12 to 60 that are positive for hepatitis B, and then we notify the county health departments who do the case investigation. Since we don't get pregnancy status on the lab reports, we have to follow up every woman between 12 and 60 to determine if she is pregnant or not. Excuse me. If she is pregnant, she'll go into our perinatal management program, and then she'll be followed until her infant gets the third dose of hepatitis B vaccine and is tested for hepatitis B antibodies, or she moves or is lost to follow-up. Each year through this surveillance, we identify approximately 50 positive pregnant women. The CDC estimates their low estimate is 93 cases, and their high or point estimate is 145. So we're about 50% of that estimate or even less. And then, as Lisa said, the estimates are based on 1994 NHANES data. The population that they used was the 2005, or that we used was the 2005 Kansas population. And to help us find cases, we have a few laws. The first law requires that all physicians test every woman during each pregnancy for hepatitis B, syphilis, and rubella. The second law requires labs to report to us all the positive hepatitis B lab results. And then the third law requires that all births be registered with the Office of Vital Statistics within 5 days of birth. And more than 95% of those are registered electronically. And most of the time, they're registered by hospitals. So the purpose of our project was to identify more cases to address this potential underreporting. In my office, the Office of Surveillance and Epidemiology decided to collaborate with the Office of Vital Statistics to develop a new method of identifying these women. And that was by using this electronic birth registry data. So from historical data we gathered from January 2006 through May 2007, and the Vital Statistics sent that to us. And then starting in June of 2007, they started sending weekly line lists. They sent us all records indicating the mother was positive for any STD, HIV, or hepatitis B. These records contain the infant name and date of birth, the mother name and date of birth, the address for the mother, the hospital where she gave birth, and the physician. They also contain the first dose of hepatitis B vaccine if it was given. So we select the records that are marked hepatitis B positive and enter them into our web-based surveillance system. And then the local health department, that's how they access and find out about these cases. And then they do the case management and follow-up. From our birth certificate surveillance, we found 99 mothers identified as hepatitis B positive for this 2-year period. After investigation by the local health departments, we found out that 49 were actually hepatitis B positive. 24 were falsely marked positive. They'd been marked positive on the birth certificate, but after following up, they were actually surface antigen negative. And that's the only way that we counted them as a false positive. And then 26 were status unverified. They previously had not been identified by us, and then after follow-up, we couldn't find them, or the follow-up was just not completed by the local health departments. So we continue to count these unknown ones as part of our management system. And From both years, 15 were from 2006 and 11 were from 2007. So we had better follow-up rates in 2007. So we knew about 45 of the women that we found out through our usual surveillance, the lab-based surveillance. 17 were previously reported as pregnant during this current pregnancy. And then 28 were previously reported as hepatitis B positive, but pregnancy status was unknown. And when we got the birth certificate notification. So these women were possibly identified from a previous pregnancy. And then maybe the doctor didn't test during this pregnancy, or for whatever reason, she just wasn't tested at this time. From our lab-based surveillance, so the old method, we had identified 36 cases in 2006 and 57 cases in 2007 for a total of 93 cases. The second line, or the second group, represents the numbers that were not on the birth certificate. So in 2006, 20 cases were not on the birth certificate and 31 in 2007. The discrepancy between 2006 and 2007 could be due to a mumps outbreak in our state. We had about 1,000 cases of mumps during that year, so it really limited our other surveillance activities. The main benefit of this project was the 41 new cases that we found through the birth certificate review. These cases were not identified through our lab-based surveillance and really are the enhancement part of this project. All the verified and unverified cases are in at this point, so those numbers could be a little high. This is just a table to show you all the numbers in one place. The first line is what we found through our regular surveillance methods. The second line is the additional cases that we found through lab-based surveillance. And through both methods, our numbers were similar for both years. Found a few more in 2007. Let's see here. So the lessons that we learned were that the additional surveillance was successful. Pregnant women with hepatitis B and their infants are pretty difficult to locate at some times. And even though this project was successful, we are still 76 to 80 cases short of the CDC point estimate. So we also learned that we need to develop new methods and relationships with the physicians, hospitals, laboratories, and county health departments to increase the identification of infants born to hepatitis B positive mothers. By calling to verify the mother's case status from the birth certificate identification, local health departments have an opportunity to educate the physicians and hospitals. I heard back from some of our bigger health departments that the hospitals were getting kind of annoyed with them when they kept calling about these false positive women, and certain hospitals were marking more false positives than others, and we were able to do a little education there. On the other hand, other hospitals we identified were doing a really good job of marking all the false positives that we had also identified through our regular surveillance. And the false positives dropped from 18 in 2006 to 6 in 2007. One of the limitations is that 51 women were identified through our lab surveillance, but they were not reported on the birth certificate. So we wonder how many more cases were missing because hospitals are not marking that the mother's hepatitis B positive on the birth certificate, and physicians are not testing during each pregnancy. The question of on the birth certificate is worded a little strained. It says, infections present and or treated, and then there's a checkbox next to several STDs, HIV, and hepatitis B. So the question doesn't really get at the surface antigen status of the mother. And the point estimates based on 1994 data, the update that Lisa's going to be giving us will be helpful, we think. And in the future, we think, or we hope, as more people are vaccinated both here and in other countries, we hope that the numbers of cases go down. And then the other issue that we had, we switched web-based surveillance systems. So we had an old one, we got a new one about October, November. And so in that time frame, it was really difficult to work out all the kinks and still do our surveillance. The future plans include a hospital policy survey. We've already sent it out, and we're receiving results currently. We'll be analyzing it to see what their policies on when women come into labor and delivery and what they do for infants that are born. Do they vaccinate? And do they give HBIG to every infant that has a hepatitis B positive mother or unknown status for the mother? We're going to do a chart review of the hospitals and an audit, basically, over the next 2 years. And we will compare the mother's chart to the infant's chart and determine what percentage of charts have the mother's hepatitis B lab results in them. Now, the recommendation is to have both the mother and the infant have the mother's hepatitis lab results in them. We would like to develop our own methods to calculate the prevalence estimates, although we haven't come up with a good way to do that yet, and see if it would be similar to the CDC's or different. And we will be adopting this method for our HIV AIDS program. Since it's also part of that checkbox, we also get the data for that every week, so we could just pass that along to them and see if they already know about these women. And as we learn about the infants whose mothers was hepatitis B status was false positive, we're giving that line list back to Vital Statistics so that they can clean their data, and it makes the project worthwhile for them as well. So that is all I have. If you have questions, there's my contact information. So. Any questions? Thank you, Leah. Are there other questions for Leah?
I have a question for Leah. Have you thought about adding on your birth certificate maternal HBsAg status, that specific question?
I don't think it's.
Hello? Is this on?
Yeah. Okay. We have talked to Vital Statistics about that. They just redid their birth certificate, so they're really hesitant to redo it because it's going to cost a lot of money, and no one wants to do that. So I think maybe in a few years we will
try.
We'll broach
again.
The subject again.
Okay.
Question: when we do fall below the estimated HB surface antigen positive mothers, mm-hmm. do you offer any kind of technical assistance or kind of follow up with the grantees in terms of either trying to reach the number or trying to justify why we reach the number we reach?
Definitely. If your program is interested in technical assistance, you can feel free to contact me. I have business cards here I can give out at the end, and I go out and do site visits to programs, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you on the phone. So, sure.
Hi, I'm Susan Wong from Division of Viral Hepatitis at CDC. I had two questions. One is, you had mentioned that you spoke with Vital Statistics about the false negatives, I think.
False positives. Yeah.
So did you also speak to them then about the ones that you had in your system that they reported as false negative, so that they're updating that as well?
No, we didn't. We didn't return that information.
And the other piece is, do you know what kind of training that the Vital Stats folks have, the birth certificate recorders, because this problem of false positives and false negatives probably are not just for the HBV, probably for syphilis and HIV as well. Mm-hmm. And if this is supposed to be a source of information and there's such variations, I wonder about their ability to improve how they're reporting information.
Yeah, I don't think that they do any training. I guess I don't know for sure. We were planning to do some training ourselves, either through us or through the local health departments, have them go out and at least talk to the infectious disease nurse. So I don't know what Vital Statistics does.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Leah, do you know why the ones that weren't reported through the lab surveillance system, why they got missed through that route?
I have no idea. No, I don't.
That's really interesting.
It is very interesting, because I think that's quite a bit. It's 51.
Yeah.
To me, that seems really high.
Yeah.
And the only thing that we kind of, well, this might address the false positives more, but the question says infections present and or treated. So one of our local health departments suggested that maybe the vaccine, the nurses were thinking that the vaccine counted for treated.
But the ones that presumably were screened and were reported correctly on the birth certificate but never made it through the lab system. So that know, why one, the labs never reported?
Well, the labs are really good about reporting. I think it's the physicians that are not testing for each pregnancy. So the mom already had a baby. Here she comes with the second one. He knows that she's a chronic carrier, and he doesn't retest. Mm-hmm. So that's our hypothesis anyway.
I don't know if it's the way in Kansas, but in California, only surface antigen is reportable. So we're trying to make E antigen and HBV DNA, like all the tests associated, also to be reportable, because we think we're missing some that way as well.
That is reportable in Kansas. So
really?
Currently it is. So. Yeah, that comes through. They all come through, so.
Yeah, thank you.